As you know, there may be more than one answer, correct answer on each question. So the idea is to choose all the correct answers. So let's start with number one. A topic widely misunderstood is this phrase, to be filled with the Spirit, both in the church and out of the church, often misunderstood. So number one, to be filled with the Spirit is to what?
See.
To be intensely influenced by the Spirit, whether by being given miraculous powers or by being controlled and motivated in heart, speech, and action. Well, if it can have both possibilities, how do you know which one it is? Ask the preacher. Context. That's right, context. That's how you know. All right, and so D is often found in the charismatic movement, an ecstatic state in which one's consciousness is wholly given over to some kind of miraculous influences of the Spirit. And then some confuse filled with the Spirit with being baptized in the Spirit. So every time they see that phrase, they think baptism in the Spirit, which is a mistake. And some consider it giving you the ability to speak in tongues, which is also incorrect. When we see the phrase filled with the Spirit, what's the correct answer? Did I hear C? Did I hear D?
Yes.
Is it C and D?
Yes.
Yes. So it must be interpreted contextually. It may or may not refer to a supernatural power imparted to someone. Can you think of one example where it does refer to a spiritual power imparted to someone? It's the one probably most quoted or referenced. Acts 2:4. They were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in tongues. Can you think of one reference where filled with the Spirit does not refer to miraculous influences?
Colossians 3:16 and 5:19.
Well, Colossians 3 don't mention that phrase, although it's referring to it, but Ephesians 5:19 and 20. That's right. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And the result is singing praise and thanksgiving to God. So if you can remember those couple verses, it shows the contrast in that particular phrase. Number three, John the Baptist promised what?
D.
While he baptized men in water, the one coming after him and of whom he testified would be the one baptizing in the Holy Spirit and fire. So, why is it important to understand like C is not correct? Is there anybody that believes that?
Pentecostals.
That's a widely held view, and as well as B. And so it's interesting in some of the quotes that you're going to read, you're going to find A, that the people are baptized in the Holy Spirit are also baptized in fire. Well, let's hope not. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is one thing, baptism in fire is another thing, but that we stated in our lesson. All right, so, four, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Correct answer. B, was promised to the apostles. Where would you go to show that? Acts 1. That's right. And there Jesus talks about the promise of baptism in the Holy Spirit, and he's talking to the apostles. And you can trace the pronouns through the chapter to show that that's the case. Number five. You can know people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, what?
None of the above.
None of the above. Very good. Why did we put A on there?
Pentecostals believe in that.
That's right. They think tongues is the evidence of Holy Spirit baptism. That's right. Why B? That's what they do. What's another name? It's kind of a name set in derision for the Pentecostal movement.
Charismatic.
That's one, but there's one that says sometimes in derision. Holy Rollers. And what that is this very thing I'm talking about. And by the way, you'll see that in Baptist churches. I did as a young man. and things like that. And people fall down on the floor and they're shaking and that kind of stuff. And of course, you find nothing like that in the New Testament. The closest thing you find to that is in the Old Testament. Do you remember where? People acting with like they'd lost their minds. When Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal, what did they do? Jumped and hollered and clapped their hands, you know. They're baptized in the Holy Spirit. No, they weren't. Baptized in the devil and ignorance. And so, but that's about the closest thing you're going to find. So, that's the answers that we put on here reflect sometimes the beliefs of the religious world that we're in. All right. Number six. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is best described as A. And overwhelming with His power, enabling one to reveal the mind of God, perform all spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit gave men, and impart miraculous power to others by laying hands on them. That's right. So, baptism, is baptism in the Holy Spirit literal?
No.
If it's not literal, is it actual? Yes. So don't be confused or be led into the idea when you say it's not literal, you mean it's not actual, you don't believe in it. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But something can be actual and yet spoken figuratively. Right? When Jesus said, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which grants eternal life. Is that a figure of speech? Yes. Not but idiom. Did he literally mean not to put as much emphasis on work as on seeking the food that gives you spiritual life? Yes. But he used a figure of speech to do it. All right. So, there's many examples of figures of speech in the Bible. All right. So, and I put C on here again because that's a commonly held view. That something better felt than told just happened and I must have been baptized in the Holy Spirit because I could speak in tongues. That's what the religious world is being taught. And sincere people believe it because the pastor said it. And so beware of that. On the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ, what's the correct answer?
C.
The apostles evidence that they had received the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, didn't 120 people, A, speak in tongues?
No.
Did anyone on that day receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I don't know. I know the apostle received baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know when. Doesn't Acts 2:4 prove that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit? They were filled with the Spirit?
No.
Filled with the Spirit does not prove Holy Spirit baptism. How do you know they were baptized in the Holy Spirit? Two reasons.
God promised it.
What?
God promised it.
Jesus promised it and He keeps His promises. What's the second one?
The evidence following.
If you know what it is, overwhelmed in power, that's what they demonstrated. We had that on the question above on number six. So once you understand what it is, did they get it? Yes. Paul wasn't even there on Pentecost as an apostle. And yet we know he received it because it was promised to the apostles and he evidenced it with the signs that he was able to work. Okay, so that's how we know. Like the people on Pentecost, men today can experience what?
See.
Repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of sins. There's the Pentecostal experience men ought to seek. Not speaking in tongues. But Pentecostalism gets its idea from trying to duplicate and seek that Pentecostal experience of speaking in tongues. B, of course, you'll see that on your television. These guys who cause people to be slain in the spirit. which is totally unbiblical, unknown in your scriptures. And then D, of course, you see a lot of that as well. All right, number 9. The Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and his household. Why?
D.
To show that it was God's will that Gentiles could be saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. What two verses very clearly state that? Anybody remember what chapter at least? In what book? We didn't have that in our memory work, did we? Acts 11, 17, and 18. When Peter was back in Jerusalem explaining to the apostles what had happened, they concluded from what he told them this response. And so Acts 11, 17, and 18, we had a chart on it, one of our classes. Shows that very clearly. Of course, it's also confirmed in Acts chapter 15 as well. And then if you look at the supernatural events that took place and what God told Peter, it's very clear that's what that was all about. Okay. So why do we need to understand about Cornelius and his household? What the purpose of whatever happened to him was? Why is that important? What? Okay, that's a good answer. He was saved as a non-Jew. In talking to your religious friends, if you're talking about the charismatic movement and the Holy Spirit giving people the power of speaking tongues, why is Cornelius, if you're talking, say, about baptism of the Holy Spirit, why is understanding Cornelius important?
It's a night being.
What?
It's a night being when you're listening.
That's right. It's the idea that people use that to prove that you can receive it today. You say, well, it's just for the apostles. Oh, wait a minute. What about Cornelius? He wasn't an apostle. And they use that to undermine the idea that baptism of the Holy Spirit was just for the apostles. And that's incorrect.
Also, it also shows that he received that power, but he still had to do the work and be baptized to be saved. He was not saved upon receiving.
That's true. That shows he was not saved upon receiving the Holy Spirit baptism. And there are different teachings about that one. Whether or not a Holy Spirit baptism is necessary for your salvation or not, you'll find different religious groups teach different things. But it's certainly used to show that somebody besides the apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it does not do that. Okay. So that was a good point that Linda made. All right, number 10. Just as upon us at the beginning, it says Acts 11, 15. So, what's the correct answer or answers here?
All of them.
All of them. That's right. Every one of them. It can refer to manner rather than measure. That's very important. You're not saying that they receive the same amount of influence or from the Holy Spirit as did the apostles. They weren't baptized in the Spirit. It points to the unique fact that these two cases, the apostles and Cornelius, are the only ones in which men receive supernatural power from the Holy Spirit without the intervention of human hands from the day of Pentecost till this event. Now, that was one of Peter's arguments with his brethren. I had nothing to do with this. Cornelius saw a vision. I was on the roof. I saw a vision. These men appeared at my gate. As I began to speak, here's what happened. I had nothing to do with this, fellas. In every other case, after the apostles, when somebody, a Christian, received these powers, did the apostles have something to do with it?
Yes.
How do you know?
Acts 8.
Acts 8. That's right. That's how you know. And you can also read Acts chapter 2 through Acts chapter 5. How many people were working miracles? Only the apostles. How many Christians were there?
Thousands.
But after Acts chapter 8 and six and about verse 6, you find somebody again having miraculous powers. What happened in Acts 6:6? The apostles laid their hands on some men. Interesting, isn't it? And that's confirmed by Luke's account over in Acts 8. All right, so that's how the other powers were imparted. All right. And Then the last one, number C, indicated with God's choice of the Gentiles. We talked about that. And it is not referring to baptism of the Holy Spirit, but to how men, specific men, receive supernatural power from the Holy Spirit. All right, number 11. The same gift as he gave to us refers to what?
B.
What?
B, salvation through faith in the gospel of Christ.
C.
B.
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 Which is correct, B or D?
Both.
That's right. Both are correct. Salvation through faith in the gospel, salvation for the Gentile as well as for the Jews. Proves both as an important event. Okay. So it's not the same gift, Holy Spirit baptism, as he gave to us. Listen, do you ever run across brethren who would teach that that's what that means? Yes, you do. I assure you. So, try to be informed. Don't believe it because Brother So-and-so has preached 120 years, says it. So, let's just rest on what the Scriptures teach. Okay? And don't believe what I say because I say it. I could be wrong. Have been wrong. And so, study for yourself. All right. Number 12. To be born of the Spirit is to what?
B.
To become a citizen of the kingdom of God through an obedient faith in Jesus as the anointed King and Savior. Where is that discussed? Well, Acts 2 is not a bad answer, but where's that idea of being born of the Spirit discussed? Acts 2 is a good answer.
John 3.
That's right, John 3. Rocky's going to teach on John, so he'll deal with that in some more depth. If the Lord is willing, he'll be able to be teaching on John. That's right. Okay, it's not number C, to undergo an explicable experience of divine power. What is that called in the religious world today? What is C called? What's their terminology?
Born again
experience. I can't explain it. It just happened. I was going down the road or something. The born again experience. And that's not biblical. And so, just be aware of the false teachings that surround you so you can just differentiate the counterfeit from the truth. All right, number 13. Pour forth of my spirit. That phrase is used in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. What's the correct answer? What?
C.
B?
C.
C? Is it B or C?
Both.
It's both. It employs different imagery, literally, than baptized. Is baptized the same as pouring forth?
No.
Different imagery. Does it mean the same thing? Well, you don't know unless you read the context and use Bible harmony. But by doing that, number C, it connotes something different figuratively than baptized in the Spirit. And so we looked at that when we studied Acts chapter 2. And what Peter is referring to is that your bond slaves, men and women, have had the Spirit pour forth upon them. What bond slaves, men and women, did this audience know the Spirit had been poured forth on?
Jewish.
What Jews? No?
John the Baptist.
Yeah, I mean, it does include the apostles. What?
And John the Baptist, a whole bunch of
them. Right. You have Mary, you have Elizabeth, you have Simeon, you have Anna, then you have John the Baptist. Every one of those, what did they say about Jesus? He's the Messiah. What's the point of Peter's sermon? He's the Christ. So all these people in the past 30 years who had the Spirit poured forth upon them, why was that such a strange thing in the last 30 years? 400 years of nothing. No prophets. But in the last 30 years here were faithful Jews who had these powers, but every one of them pointed to Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Okay. And so, number 14. Again, we're going to Acts 2, 17 and 18. When the Spirit was poured forth on people, what's the correct answer? See. They were enabled to prophesy, see visions, and dream dreams of divine import. And so again, it wasn't the things we've been looking at in some of the previous questions. They didn't start jumping and shouting, full of ecstasy. They didn't fall to the ground like they were slain by the Spirit. They didn't sing louder, pray harder, and live more righteous lives. But that's the kind of things that are attributed to this pouring forth of the Spirit and enable people to live a holy life. All right, number 15, Joel's prophecy. Again, we're in Acts 2. Promised the Spirit would be poured forth on who? Hey, Jewish people, not any of them. Young and old, male and female, who were what? God's bond slaves. And that's what all those people were that exercised those gifts in that last 30 years. Okay, so when people use Acts 2, see, God said He's going to pour forth of His Spirit on all flesh. Aren't you part of that? Doesn't flesh mean all mankind? Does it?
Not in Acts 2.
Huh?
Not in Acts 2.
It doesn't mean all mankind?
It doesn't mean all mankind, but it's restricted to tell you specifically what part
of the whole mankind. When a whole is put for a part, what figure of speech is that?
Synecdoche,
right? So it's going to happen to all flesh, but then he defines what he means by all flesh. And so we need to be aware of those kinds of things. Does all flesh ever in the Bible refer to animals?
Yes.
Go back and read Genesis 6, 7, 8. Certainly. 1 Corinthians 15. And so you have to let context decide what it means. All right. Number 16. By one Spirit we were all baptized. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Wait a minute. Why are we looking at that verse? Why is that one important in our study of the Holy Spirit and His gifts? That's right. So you said only the apostles received Holy Spirit baptism, right? You Campbellite? Is that what you said? Cornelius was baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was one argument. And look, the Corinthians were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Read 1 Corinthians 12, 13. That's their arguments.
The answer is A.
Through the teaching and motivation of the Word of God revealed by the Spirit of God, they were baptized into Christ. So he said, by one Spirit, you were all baptized into one body. Is there somewhere we could go for some more light on what he's talking about? This is something that happened in history. When he wrote that letter about 57, he's talking about something that happened in the past. Something that led to their baptism. Is there somewhere we can go to find some commentary on that? Acts 18, when Paul went to Corinth, people were baptized. What caused them to be baptized, according to Acts 18? Preaching, teaching. A man guided by the Spirit was teaching them the truth, led them to baptism. By one Spirit, we're all baptized. How many of you in this audience would have been baptized without the work of the Holy Spirit? Would you have woke up one day and say, I want to go to heaven? Would somebody dunk me in water? No, without the work of the Holy Spirit teaching us that baptism in water is part of God's plan to be saved, we wouldn't do it. All right. So, the Corinthians experienced baptism, Holy Spirit baptism, spoke in tongues. Did all the Corinthians speak in tongues? No. That proves that's wrong. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. So, this is used to say that all Christians should seek Holy Spirit baptism, which is incorrect. All right, number 17. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. What?
D.
None of the above. Does it change the moral character of man? But I thought the apostles baptized the Holy Spirit. Didn't it change their character and make them ever faithful? Give me an example. Peter, Galatians 2, played the part of a coward. And so did it grant physical healing and strength? Was Paul baptized in the Spirit? Did he have physical strength and health? No, he did not. And so assured one of financial and social prosperity. That's what Paul had, didn't he? No. And so you can see again, when you read your Bible, these assumptions that men make today are not true. All right, number 18, Holy Spirit baptism. What?
None of the above.
It doesn't remove the inherited depraved nature of man. That's what Cornelius needed, wasn't it? No, he wasn't depraved. He was a good man, a godly man, but he still needed the gospel. And so, in order to obtain forgiveness of sins, these are incorrect answers. Evidence of pardon and assurance. How do you know about your pardon and assurance if God doesn't do something that just makes you feel it inside or makes you speak in another language? How can you be sure of your pardon? God makes a promise. How do you know there's a heaven? God makes a promise. And in Hebrews chapter 6, he said, so you'll be sure of that. Two unchangeable things our hope rests on. One, God doesn't lie. Two, he swore with an oath. It's his word, his character. That's how I know there's a heaven. Not because I feel it. All right, so number 19, all the Corinthians, Christians,
were baptized in water to be saved.
Baptized in water to be saved. Not all of them spoke in tongues. None of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they didn't lead too great a life, a lot of them, as you read the 1st and 2nd Corinthians letters. All right, number 20, true or false? How many true answers in number 20?
One.
Which one? See. The Samaritans could be assured they were saved because Jesus promised salvation to those who believed and were baptized. So the other three are false. Cornelius was depraved before the Holy Spirit fell upon him is wrong. Baptism of the Holy Spirit enabled the Corinthians to live a life of devotion and sanctity is false. John the Baptist promised that all he baptized would be baptized in the Holy Spirit is false. That's right. All right, the initial sign of Holy Spirit baptism. What's the correct answer?
A.
A?
B.
B? Is it A or B? Both. It's both. It's not mentioned in the scripture. It's an assumed distinction from the gift of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. But that is a key component of Pentecostal doctrine. If you say all the Corinthians couldn't speak in tongues, they say that's the gift. When they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they got the initial sign, speaking in tongues. They can't read about it anywhere in the Bible, but that's their assumption. And so, that's why this bit is about the initial sign here. We need to understand that that's something that's out of man's doctrine, not something you find in the New Testament. Every Christian should experience what?
One baptism.
And where do you know? How do you know that? Ephesians chapter 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one hope, one baptism. Right. All right. Are there any churches that have three baptisms? The answer is yes. There are. One in the name of the Father, one in the name of the Son, one in the name of the Holy Spirit. Difference in Holy Spirit baptism and water baptism are?
D.
What?
D.
One was for special people and special purpose. The other for all men who need salvation in Christ. That's correct. Any others? All of them. One is in the Holy Spirit and one is in water. One is a promise and one is a command. Why is that important? How did that help us?
Who received it?
What?
Who received it? The promise for the
Holy Spirit. Okay, who was the promise made to? Well, it made everybody, make the apostles. That's the only ones can expect to receive, as Linda said. That's right. One puts men into Christ and one does not. All right, Holy Spirit baptism, number 24. What's the correct answer? All of them. It was administered by Christ. It was a promise to be received. It was to reveal and confirm the gospel of Christ. And it was for special people for a special purpose. That's right. Where do you read about these powers of Holy Spirit baptism being used to confirm the truth about Jesus? In somewhat of a discourse. That's probably not a good question. John 13, 14, 15, 16. And then, of course, as you read the book of Acts, you see that's what happened. Like in Acts 14, God confirmed the word by the signs that they were able to work. Hebrews chapter 2 refers to that. Mark chapter 16, they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord worked with them, confirming the word by the signs that followed. So that's the purpose of the signs. All right. Yeah.
You might make note, we have an A through H option on that question.
Oh, well, A through what?
H. But I think E.
A through H?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, yeah, it was a typo.
Yeah, for the next question.
I like to put typos in there. But yeah, I've corrected that. Yeah, thank you. My wife pointed that out to me. Right, A through D. There's a typo that really starts the next question. You probably have that on there, the separate entry. Thank you, Keith. So if a preacher today came to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, what's the correct answer?
B.
C? Is it B or C? You say C, she says B?
B-S-C.
Are y'all going to still sit on the same pew?
Maybe.
B and C.
Huh? What?
Did I say something wrong?
What's your B?
If a preacher today claims to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can know he's deluded or outright fraud. That's correct, right?
I'm on
26. Well, remember, we said that was a typo. At the end, there was a deal. Remember? That should be number 26.
24 has a typo. It has the E, F, G, and H. 25 has the answers E, F, G, and H. So you skip 25.
All right. Forget what's on your sheet. Here's the question. Let's go back to this one. Whatever number it is. When people today claim they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, what's the correct answer or answers? The last two, whatever their letters are. That's right. Okay? Good. You can tell I'm not baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right. And then if a preacher today claims to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, we can know he's deluded or an outright fraud. His teaching should harmonize with what the Scriptures teach. If they do not, this undermines his claims. That particular answer. How do you know that if a fellow doesn't teach what the Scriptures teach, it undermines his claims? What verse could you go to? Several.
Paul said, "Even an angel."
All right, Galatians 1. If I teach something different than what you've received, me or anybody else, even an angel, let him be accursed. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 14, somebody claims to be a prophet and they don't accept what I've written. Don't regard him as a prophet. There are a number of verses you can go to. All right. But doesn't he do good? Shouldn't we support him? No. Not at all. Men in the first century who were baptized in the Holy Spirit. All of them are correct answers. Taught the same doctrine as other men baptized in the Spirit taught. Right. You won't find discrepancy in their teaching. And this is a key mark that we talked about that on Holy Spirit baptized preachers. One of the differences is they teach different doctrines. Whereas those truly, we know we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, taught the same doctrine. Did Paul teach something different in Corinth than he did in Ephesus and Philippi?
No.
Where did he say that? 1 Corinthians 4. said, Timothy's going to come teach my ways, which are in every church. He taught the same thing in every church. That's right. All right, so, and they could give undeniable signs they were an apostle. Where is an indication that the signs of an apostle were something that men could recognize as signs of an ambassador of Christ? The Apostle Paul made reference to that very idea. Remember? 2 Corinthians 12:12, the signs of an apostle were worked among you. But several Christians can speak in tongues. That's not the sign of an apostle. There's something different about it. The idea is they could do all the gifts. They could pass on the power to others. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Plus, they had all the truth revealed to them. Okay. So, and so these men of the first century don't teach what Holy Spirit baptized preachers teach today. First century, they taught believers to be baptized for the remission of sins. These guys don't, normally. And they never use their power to make themselves rich. And of course, most of these guys are pretty well off. All right, nothing wrong with being rich, but when you use the gospel as godliness as a means of gain, 1 Timothy chapter 6, that's a problem. All right. Number 28, and mine at least, maybe it's yours. Apostles who were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, what? See, were humble men, never seeking their own glory or wealth. By the way, I think if you get the downloaded copy now, and certainly at the end of the class period, we correct these mistakes. And hopefully they've already, the ones I sent to Wally, these numbers have been corrected. Okay, so... number 28C, were humble men never seeking their own glory or wealth. That's right. And B, did they raise a large sum of money today? You bet. And oftentimes from people who don't have much money. I've seen there. I've been to those miracle events, so-called. See people on crutches and wheelchairs and poor. Those guys are getting their money. They're out after money. This one particular guy I'm talking about, as far as Mercy Hospital in Minnesota, or no, down in, I don't remember where, Tennessee, I don't remember. Turned out to be a vacant building. He was arrested and went to jail for a while, prison for a while, I think. But they'll steal from anybody. And send an entourage before them to announce their coming. These things are highly advertised today. But that wasn't the case in the New Testament. All right. Indication that a preacher today is not baptized in the Holy Spirit are?
B, C, and D.
B, C, and D. He says the people he heals must have faith. What do they call themselves?
Faith healers.
Faith healers. Why is that so valuable to them? That's right. Instead of accepting the responsibility, it says your fault. You didn't have faith. Those dead people had a lot of faith, didn't they? Man at the beautiful gate. What shows he didn't have faith in Jesus? Acts chapter 3.
He was asking for alms.
Huh?
He was asking for alms.
Asking for alms. He didn't know who Jesus was. He had faith in Jesus. How about the blind man? In John 9. What shows he didn't have faith in Jesus?
Good question.
Yeah, he didn't know. Who did this? He said, some guy healed me. I know he did. I know he's a prophet. Later, Jesus found him and explained to him who he was. He didn't know. This faith healing business is just a scheme to wiggle out when they fail. And so sometimes faith was required, yes, but that's not essential to the miracles they performed. And then this, number C, he cannot perform miracles that are observable and undeniable by all. And so that's a sign oftentimes of something internal. that you can't see, or a disease that's brought on by mental problems. And then D, practices progressive healing, where the sick person gets well over time, but not instantaneously. That's very common in these so-called miracle-working things, where people get better. A couple weeks, you'll really be doing good. No, that's not the way it happened. I was talking with a man the other day, and it's a man, man I use for a dentist. He's a religious man, but he's mistaken. But he talked about going to a foreign country, and he helped somebody that needed help, and they were able, this guy was really in bad shape, they were able to heal him up, and it went good. He just felt the Holy Spirit working his power. They sewed him all up, and he was going to get better. I wish I'd have told him. I let an opportunity go by. That wasn't a miracle. If it had been a miracle, you wouldn't have to sew anybody up. But that's the idea of miracles today. We made it through with a minute to spare. Thank you for your cooperation. The Lord being willing, Sunday morning, we'll begin to talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit dwell in Christians? We'll talk about that, the Lord willing, Sunday morning. Thank you.